Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we are going to start a series this morning that I am so excited about because of the capacity it has to change your life. Talking about God as the God who does miracles, not the God who did miracles. The God who does miracles, and looking at what he has done, but looking at what he says he wants to do now and in our lives and moving forward. This teaching, this concept that God is real, he's alive, and he does stuff. I mean, because if God does anything, it's a miracle. I mean, if God does anything, if God thinks a thought, says a word, moves anything, it's a miracle. So the activity of God in 2020, this is really what we're talking about. And I can remember being 18 years old, and getting just so marked by this concept and how it's changed my life in so many ways. So this first session is entitled The Kingdom of Power. And what we're going to do in this first session is we're really going to look at a lot of what the Word has to say and kind of lay a foundation, because we're going to spend probably a couple of months here in this subject talking about the miracle-working God. And so Robbie, man, playlist today on point, my brother. That was a good deal. The miracle-working God, and I am so excited about what this can mean for us for a few reasons. One, I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 4:20. It's a verse you probably know, but I want us to get thinking about the kingdom of God. We talk about the kingdom. We read all these parables about the kingdom. We realize that when we're talking about Christianity, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God invading the earth. But I want to give us one of the primary definitions of the kingdom and get us thinking about this. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So we could even say the kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. The power of God is manifest in the kingdom of God. We are a part of a different order. When we gave our lives to Jesus, something dramatic shifted. When you did not know Jesus, you did not have access to that power. When you did not have God living in your soul, you did not have access to the kingdom of power. But now that we are a part of his kingdom, the kingdom of light, we're a part of the purposes of God in the earth in this hour. If you've given your life to the Lord, you are part of a kingdom that by definition means you have access to the power of God. I don't want to live like that's not true. I don't want you living like that's not true. I want to live like that's real on a Tuesday. I want that to be evident in my life, in your lives. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Now, sometimes the Lord releases power when people talk, but it's not about the talking. It's about the kingdom. It's about God's power being released in the earth. I just want us thinking about that, the power of God. What a different idea than like just the normal thought of normal life, going grocery shopping, you know, changing a diaper, going to work. You have access to something called the power of the kingdom released through your hands, released in your life. The power of the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. My hope here in this series is as we spend some weeks talking about the God who does miracles, current tense, my hope is that we shift our perspective a little bit. We start to realize more what it means to be a part of that kingdom. Listen, I am so grateful that I live in America. I'm grateful for what that permits us, what that gives us opportunity to. But I don't want to be more American than I am kingdom. I do not want to be more a citizen of America than I am a citizen of this kingdom, because this is the kingdom we're a part of. This is real. Now, it may not feel real to us. We want to look at that as a problem. We want to call our experience a liar and call the Bible the truth. Okay, because this is what the kingdom is. I'm a part of this kingdom and so are you, and this kingdom is a kingdom of power. So it just then stands to reason we ought to be experiencing power. And where we're not, we want to be bothered by that instead of accepting of that. We want to experience the power of the kingdom because that's what it is by definition. It's a kingdom of power. Listen, I'm so grateful for all the preachers out there that have got a good talk game going. okay? But we got to have more than talk. And I just want to encourage all of you who don't feel like you're, you know, necessarily gifted communicators, that's not what the kingdom is. The kingdom is not a matter of good communication. I appreciate good communication. I'm going to try to communicate these ideas good. But it's way more than that. It's a kingdom of power. And you can do that, whoever you are, by basis of the fact that you've got God living inside of you. All right? This is game-changing when we understand this. Second, I want to create a culture of faith. We're going to read Bible verses. I'm going to tell personal stories. I'm going to tell a ton of personal stories. And really, my reason for that is I'm the one with the microphone, and I've got a bunch of stories to share. I want you to see yourself in normal, modern-day miracles. I want you to see, I could do that. I could believe God for that. I could see God work that way in my life. So I'm going to tell a ton of them in this series. I mean, I've written down probably 40. I'm going to share a bunch of miracle stories that are just some dude that loves the Lord. It could just be just some you that loves the Lord, that saw what the Bible said, believed it, and then reached for God to see it happen. I want to see a culture of faith produced in our church. And I'm grateful for the season that we just spent in the Sermon on the Mount in order to get the culture of the kingdom. This is another aspect of that same kingdom. Another aspect of culture that I want us to get into us is a culture of faith. People living in faith according to what is written in the Word. We don't want to be flaky faith, making up our own version of Christianity. We want to follow the Bible. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of insanity in the Bible that we're not living right now. And I want to embrace everything in the Word. If it makes sense, doesn't make sense, seems crazy, seems a great idea, I'm not the one in charge, okay? I want to follow what the Word says and get us as a church, as a culture, that we would be believing God for big things and then seeing it. That's how that works. So yeah, I'm going to share a bunch of personal testimonies, and a lot of them, I'm actually going to be intentional to share as many of them as I can from my early days in this journey and not from latter years in the journey. Because latter years, my faith has been growing. So I'm able to see God move in ways that I didn't when I started off. I want to share the stories of starting off because I want you to be able to relate to it and go, well, I could see God doing that in my life. I could totally believe for that. That's the exact same situation I'm in right now. Like, I'm going to do a lot of that. Sharing that, I want to get us reaching. That's the last piece. Part of the culture thing. I want to get us reaching. There is so much that is available to us if we will reach. And so much of what God would give us, he won't if we don't reach. If we don't reach. It's on the table. And my two-year-old knows that. Everything that's on that table, he knows how to reach for. He gets all of it. He climbs on stuff. Anything that kid wants, he gets. He just goes for it. He just waits for you to turn your back, and then he goes for it. Like, he knows how to reach. And the stuff is on the table if you reach or if you don't reach. It's sitting there on the table. We've got stuff available to us. Lots. Lots of miracles. Lots of moments with the Lord, lots of stories, lots of testimonies, lots of things available to us as a believer in Christ that is available on the table, but it will not fall into your lap. You must reach for it. And so we're going to talk about what does that reach look like? It's mostly just cry and pray and, if you can figure out how to turn that into a spiritual discipline, you got it. That's what reaching is, okay? It's just a discontentment. Longing to see God do what God says he's going to do. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to twist his arm. There's lots of stuff he says, I want to do this, but I won't unless you seek me for real. Seek me. And then if you do, I will. But if you don't, I won't. We live in a culture that is so content to hear other people's stories. Read the autobiography. Why don't you have stories? You want stories. You want stories, your story, you and God, your encounters, your miracle moments. You want that, and it's available to all of us. There's nothing special about one that isn't special about another. The Lord, we're his sons and his daughters, we're his kids. He wants to release things to us, but he won't just give away all the stuff on that table. We got to reach. So the Word is our foundation. So this morning, I'm going to just tell you, we're going to be in the Word a lot this morning. I'm just going to read Bible verse after Bible verse because here's my hope. I want to give us a foundation. Before we start talking about testimonies and things I've seen the Lord do and ways that we can believe God for, I want to give us a foundation that this is absolutely biblical Christianity. Okay? First, the heroes of the faith. What were they praised for? They were praised for having faith. Faith to see God do wild stuff. They believed that God was a God who would actually interact in their lives and do wild stuff. And then God interacted in their lives and he did wild stuff. That's what the heroes of the faith are all about. We know the passage in Hebrews chapter 11, but I also want to give us a little bit of chapter 7. I think that's actually, it's all 11. Yeah, so that's a misquote on that verse. So 11:5 should be 11:7 and 11:8 through 9. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. If you guys don't know that story, Enoch didn't die. He didn't die. You and I are probably going to die or get resurrected or raptured when Jesus comes in the sky, which I'm hoping we're here for. Enoch didn't die. He was taken up. He was like a first fruits of what that rapture concept is, of being taken up. And it says that he got there by faith. What kind of communion was he having with God where he was like, you know what? Can I just not live out the rest of my life and not die like a normal person? Can I just be with you now? Because by faith, it says, he was taken from this life. He didn't die. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. You just got to imagine how long, how much work it took to build that ark. Noah is being praised for one who believed God to do wild, crazy things. Believed God could speak about information about the future ahead of time. Believed God to be able to powerfully save him and his family while everybody else was going to experience judgment. He believed God. These are like our heroes. These are the ones who are like, yeah, Noah. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed. And he went. And he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. The entire history of our faith rests on Abraham. And Abraham's journey believed in a God who did miracles because God told Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. That's impossible. How does that even happen? If somebody told you that, you'd laugh at him. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. What? No, he's not. That's not going to happen. But Abraham, when he heard that, he believed. And this became the father of our faith in so many ways. It was by faith. The heroes of the faith, the foundation of those that we are celebrating to this day, that we look back and go, these were some main people in the history of Christianity. And this is just the short list. I gave you three. There's 300. All of them were praised because of their faith. They believed God was a miracle-working God. Then God worked miracles in their lives, and they were proved right by their faith. What else? Another foundation that this kingdom, remember the 1 Corinthians 4 verse that we read a minute ago? It's not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. The kingdom, for real, is a matter of power. It for real is. What else is our foundation? How about the miracles of Jesus? Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the one that wrote the concept of what it means that God so loved the world, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the foundation. Without Jesus, we do not know God. So Jesus is the one that defines what it means to know God and how to live like one that knows God. And what did Jesus do? Matthew 11:20, Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Don't focus on the not repent part at this point. Focus on the fact that there were lots of towns that he had done lots of miracles in. He went around to multiple towns. It wasn't like just that one town he was kind of feeling it. The towns, there were multiple towns where he had done a ton of miracles in that town, and then he went to this town and he did another ton of miracles. He was doing miracles as a part of his lifestyle. This is the one that we're looking to as the source of salvation. This is the one that we're looking to define what does it mean to be a Christian, Christian. What does it mean to be like him? What does it mean to follow him? He did miracles. Luke 19:37, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for the miracles that they'd seen. They'd seen miracles in Jesus' ministry, many of them, to the point where they couldn't help contain themselves because it wasn't just that they saw it and knew it was God. And they were praising God because of the miracles they saw. Next verse, Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. It's Acts 2:22. A man, I love that line. We know he's God. He's a man too. A man accredited by God to you by miracles. Because that we're supposed to relate not only with the fact that he's God, but with the fact that he's a human. He became a human so that he could lead the way of what humans do in relationship to God. If God was only God, we would not have any model that we could follow. But God was also a man, and he knew all the temptations and the difficulties, and yet he was accredited by miracles. That was a life. It was when people thought of this man, they thought of the miracle-working guy. This is Jesus. This is the foundation of our faith. The miracle ministry of the early church, Acts 19, verse 11, and 1 Corinthians 2:4. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. What the heck does the word extraordinary mean in front of the word miracle? I mean, it's like miracles are not enough. How about extraordinary miracles? Are you serious right now? Yeah. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, Luke is just meticulous about detail. He's careful with detail. He doesn't mince words. He says, listen, the stuff that Paul was doing was over the top, nutso, miraculous. It was blowing our minds. Like, I've seen miracles, but what this guy was doing was extraordinary miracles. It was just kind of normal. 1 Corinthians 2:4, now Paul talking about some of that. He says, guys, when I came to you, he says, my message and my preaching, they weren't with wise and persuasive words. Remember, the kingdom is not of talk, but of power. He says, when I came to you, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. When I came, it wasn't just words. I was able to release the power of the kingdom because I'm a part of the kingdom of power, and I wanted you to see it's about a kingdom of power and not just about nice words. I wanted you to see the power of God in your midst. And so when I was with you, that's what you saw. And all the Corinthians would have said, yep, amen, that's true. That's what happened. The consistent exhortation from Scripture is to remember the God of miracles. Over and over, the Word of God doesn't just say, remember God. That would be good. That would be enough. Remember God who does miracles. Remember the God that did this, the God that did this, the God that did this. And it's always the most profound things you could ever imagine, like, oh, the one who parted the Red Sea. I would call that an extraordinary miracle. Just imagine how many confused fish there were that day. What in the world? My brother is like right over there, but I can't get to him because there's air. There's never been air between me and him. It's a confusing deal. 1 Chronicles 16:12 and a few other verses. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. The exhortation to the believing community of God is, remember that God does miracles. Why? Because you'll need some. Can you imagine what would have happened to Israel if God didn't show up and do the Red Sea thing, the parting? That would have been really bad for them that day. There are times in our lives, I just want to say this kindly, there are times in our lives where God is willing to do a miracle for us, but we don't press in for it, and we have to suffer the consequences of a miracle-less situation. There are times. It's not every time, all the time, every situation, but there are times. There are moments in our lives that we've already got in our rear view where God would have done a miracle if we'd have pressed in for one, and we had to live in the fruit of no miracle because we're supposed to remember the wonders he has done. Why remember them? Oh, neat story. Let's teach it in Sunday school. That's worthless. We need to remember the God who does these things. He has done them. He will do them. He didn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same. The God who parted the Red Sea can part Red Seas today. The God who raised Lazarus from the dead, same God. He can raise the dead today. He's the same. He didn't change. He's the same. And we're told over and over, remember, Nehemiah 9:17, they refused to listen and they failed to remember the miracles that you performed among them. I don't want to push on us in a way that is, you know, mean or harsh. I just want us to see how much of this is true of us. Refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles that God has performed. Failed to remember. Is my tomorrow reflective of the God who has done miracles from since there was anything, ever? Am I living out of the reality that I serve a God who does miracles? Or am I failing to remember that God does miracles? He's a miracle-working God. It is the kingdom of power. Job 5:9, he performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. So the caliber of the miracle and the quantity of the miracles. There are so many miracles. He performs wonders that can't be fathomed. You can't even get your head around. I can't believe you did that. I want to live a life that has those moments. God did this thing. I can't believe he did this thing. It was so unbelievable. And I don't want to have one story in a decade. I want to have cannot be counted stories. Because that's who he is. I mean, if these weren't Bible verses, this would be scandalous. But these are Bible verses. Not like we're reading this out of some philosophy book. Okay? This is the word of God which was given to instruct us how to be Christians. How to live for God. What it means to be a follower of the miracle-working God. Just kind of imagine if God can get bored. How bored he's got to be with a whole culture of people that don't believe he works miracles. Like, you love me, but you're not tapping into anything that I have for you. Like, I'm a miracle-working God. I could do stuff. You blow your mind. More than you can even imagine. I'm not talking about once a decade. I'm talking about once a day, twice, 10 times a day. Miracles that can't be counted too many. It said that of Jesus' ministry. John, at the end of John, he goes, listen, I've just told you a few things. There is not room in enough books on enough shelves and enough libraries in the world to be able to write down everything this man did. It was too many to be counted. So while we're reading here in Job, Jesus lived it real time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's a God who does crazy stuff. I don't want to live in a way unreflective of this truth. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live like God isn't real. That's how the whole lost world has to live. I'm not lost anymore. I've got Jesus in my life. I want to live like God is real and like his miracles are real. Because they are. And as we have that revelation, we get to start seeing him move in our hearts and our lives in powerful ways. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. I just want to encourage you to start thinking of God this way. We like to think of him as the God of kindness, the God of mercy. He is. But you know, God's got a whole lot going on. And as much as he is the God who is merciful, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, abounding in love, as much as he is that, he is the God who performs miracles and displays power. I want to know the God who does miracles and displays power. I also want to know the God of mercy. I also want to know the God of truth. I also want to, it's all him. But I just think we're missing out big time if we don't press in to know the God that the psalmist is talking about here in Psalm 77. You are the God who performs miracles. I want to encourage you, start looking at your problems as a way to pray to the God of miracles. It's not a problem anymore. It's an opportunity. Declare Psalm 77:14 over your problem. God, you're the God of miracles. You've done it. And remind yourself of what you've seen, of what you've heard, and most importantly, what the Word of God says. Remind yourself of the truth. Don't get lost in your experience. Don't get lost in your experience. Can you imagine somebody that grows up in the desert? They've never seen lush greenery. They've never seen the forest of the earth. They've never seen, Earth, the show Earth or whatever that shows all the Amazon forests and all that. They've never seen anything green. All they've seen is sand. So their perspective is the whole planet is desert. Do not be one who says, just because I've not seen, therefore my experience trumps what the Word of God says. Incorrect. This is truth. This is who God is. We need to start reaching for what the Word of God says about who he is and not being settled for what we've experienced or what we've felt or known. We want to believe the word. Listen, before you came to know the Lord, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, it meant nothing to you before you came to know him. But now that verse has profound impact and foundation in your life in retrospect. You had to believe it first, and then it became real. This is like that. This is the God of miracles. Believe it first, and it will become real. Start to clothe yourself, bathe your thoughts in what the Word of God says. Let's get some foundation in truth. Well, it's not just that the kingdom is of power. It's not just that God is powerful. The New Testament over and over says you have access to that power. You have access to the power of God. Let's read some verses. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. His divine power has given us everything we need. This is the same kingdom power stuff. It's not a different power. It's his power. There is no second, you know, other kind of power. It's his. His divine power has given us everything that we need. 2 Timothy 1:7, a spirit of God. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The Spirit gives us power. What kind of power? What kind of power could God give that would be lame? What lame version of God power is there? God, please sign me up for your lamest power. Give it to me. Whatever you got was so incredibly epic. Mind-blowing. The lamest power from God is mind-blowing. We have been given the Spirit of God inside of us, and via that Spirit, we have power. God power, to do God stuff, to partner with the kingdom of power. Is this making sense? There's a kingdom of power. That's what you were saved into. You were then given a deposit of that kingdom inside of you called the Holy Spirit. That is not so that you can just recognize power when it happens and go, oh, that must be God. I've got the Spirit of God living in me. There's a miracle over there. That must be God. I can connect the dots. You've been given the Spirit of power so that you can operate in the kingdom of power. That's why we have the Spirit of power living in us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in his power. I'll just tell you, I don't have a lot of revelation of what that means. I think we ought to go on a journey together to get some. What does it mean to be strong on a Tuesday at work in his mighty power? I think if we start asking the Lord the answers to that question, what does that look like? I think we'll start seeing it happen. I think we'll start walking. I think there's just too few that are willing to press in to what does it look like on a Tuesday? I'm just like the most normal kind of a day to be strong in the mighty power of God, in God's mighty power, but I can be strong in it, meaning I've got access to it. It's not just that God's over there, strong and mighty. It's that God lives within me, and I have access to that strength and that might. The power of God, be strong in it. Not even be weak in it, not even just be normal in it. Be strong in the mighty power of God. Friends, I think that there is so much available to us that we have yet to have any revelation of. I mean, the kind of revelation of, I was once lost and now I'm saved and I see the world completely differently. What if the next upgrade is, I'm saved and now I have a revelation, I have access to the mighty power of God within me. I think it's life-changing. Life-changing. We should be experiencing this power. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Huh? Powerful? Yeah, powerful. Same power. Not a different power. Like there's God power and then you power. You're just as messed up as I am. All right? There's no power in you in and of yourself. You're not that awesome. There's only one who's awesome. But because we have that one living in us, the prayer of a righteous person, the prayer of a submitted person to Jesus, the prayer of a person pursuing Jesus is powerful. That doesn't mean neat, kind, nice, powerful, game-changing, circumstance-impacting. The prayer of a righteous person operates in the power of God to get stuff done, to move stuff, to shift stuff, shake stuff up, and change circumstances. That's what it says. That's what your Bible says. Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. The gospel is filled with the power of God, not just to save. I mean, to save for sure. The gospel saves. But that's not where it ends. That's where it starts. The gospel saves not so that people can go out of hell and into heaven and now God's done. God wants relationship, wants to do stuff, wants to move the kingdom forward, and he can't do that with people that won't partner with him. So partnership starts with the gospel. You get the gospel of power endowed in you, and now it's time to do some stuff. Now it's time to actually serve in the kingdom and be a part of what he's doing, not be a bump on a log. Our gospel came not simply with words, but with power to see stuff shift. Colossians 1:10. Pray that you would live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power. Just imagine Paul. It's like he's raising up Navy SEAL camps all over the earth in the spirit. He's like, I want to see you operate in all power. He starts praying for their spiritual condition. He says, I pray that you'd live a life worthy. Don't do nothing stupid. I pray that you'd please him in every way. You'd be partnering with his purposes in your life. I pray that you'd bear fruit in every good work, that what you put your hands to, that it would work, that it wouldn't like just be, you know, for naught. I pray all that stuff. I pray you'd grow in the knowledge of God. I pray you'd be strengthened with the power of the kingdom, that you would be growing. Whatever level of the power of the kingdom you have known, I pray you grow in it. I pray whatever measure of the power of the kingdom you've experienced in the past, I pray you would continue to grow in the power of the kingdom within you. Just like I pray you'd grow in the fruit of the Spirit, because that's what we want to do. But it doesn't end at the fruit of the Spirit. There's the gifts of the Spirit. There's the power of the Spirit. I pray that you would excel, that you would grow in these things. We have that power in our inner being, Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. There it is again. Really clear, this power is an internal thing. This power is not something I have to go find. It's not like you got to go to the tallest mountain to find the power of God. I am praying that the Holy Spirit who lives within you, that you would learn a greater measure of partnership with the power of God so that you can see the power of the kingdom operate on a Tuesday. This is so profound. I pray that out of his glorious riches, out of the bigness of God, out of the goodness of God, out of the fact that he's got treasure troves of glory you can't even imagine, I pray he gives you stuff out of that treasure trove and he strengthens you with power in his Spirit. Where is his Spirit? In your inner being. You carry this around in you. We all know what it is to be walking in some darkness, in some sin, and feeling the yuck of that sin. Now, maybe we still feel the pleasure of it in our flesh. We know the stain that it feels on the inside, and it does not feel good. This is the opposite of that. This is growing in the grace in our inner being, where we're growing in treasure internally, but it's treasure specifically related to power to operate in the kingdom. This is a revolutionary thought process for us as believers. We can grow in the power of God to partner with the kingdom of power to then, with the access to God's power, do God's stuff on God's behalf, to be used in the middle of it. Do you know how that Red Sea got parted? Moses had to lift a stick in the air. If Moses wouldn't have lifted the stick, there would be no sea parted. God used a weak man who couldn't talk straight. Moses, put the stick in the air. I don't want to. Moses, put the stick in the air, man. Okay, stick in the air. Just mad. Well, I'll be darned. Wow, I didn't know that stick could do that. Did y'all know that stick could do that? Dang, look at that. Well, I'll be darned. My hand's getting heavy. Bring some guys over and help them keep the stick in the air, because if the stick comes down, the water comes down. Well, that's worse. So now two more humans have to come and help him keep the stick in the air. See, God uses weak humans. I mean, you couldn't call that Moses doing anything, but you also couldn't call it Moses doing nothing. Moses' part was real. And if Moses didn't do his part, God wouldn't do it for him. God wants to use you to do crazy stuff. Your life, the lives of those around you, he wants to use you to do miracles. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. This is what you got saved into. I don't know if you knew it or not, but this is what you signed up for when you gave your life to Jesus. You signed up for the kingdom of power so that you might be used to do the works of God. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Incomparably great power lives within you. What kind of power? It's the same power, it's the mighty strength that God exerted when God raised Christ from the dead and he seated Christ at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That same power is in you today. If you've given your life to the Lord, you have that living in you. There's some stuff in the inside of this house that I am not aware of. There are some things going on in me that I am not in tune with, because I'm not sure how reflective my week was this last week of that statement. This isn't conviction. This is invitation time, friends. This is a time for us to go, what am I doing? I'm part of this? Incomparably great power for those who believe? Well, I believe. Well, yeah, but you got to be a special believer. No, you don't. You just actually have to believe. It's not enough that you're saved. You must believe. You must believe in the God that does this, that says this, that this is a reality. The riches of his glorious inheritance, an inheritance that is made available to us, not just in the age to come, but right now. His incomparably great power for us who believe, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that raised Jesus to the right hand of the Father, that raised Jesus, that same power, that's about as big as it gets. It lives in you. Incomparably great power for us who believe. For us who believe, that's the prerequisite. Not have been saved for X number of years, not gone to so many Bible studies, not this or that. Do you believe? If you believe this incomparable, you can't compare it to anything. If you know someone who is a billionaire, the power within you is greater than that billionaire's financial capacities. It is incomparably great power. It is incomparable. For who? Just the super saints. That's not what the word says. The word says those who believe. We have access to this. I want to live like this is real. I do not want this to be for the guys who write the books. I want to write the books. I want to have stories. I want you to have stories. We're doing this series so that we can start to engage in this as real, so that we can begin to walk in this as actual. It's the Bible. It's the same Bible that said that God loves me, that said if I repent, I can be a son and or a daughter in the kingdom. It's the same Bible. It's not a different Bible. It's the same Bible. In fact, in many passages, it's verses just after some of our favorite verses. These are passages about what the kingdom of God is. It is a kingdom of power. We have access to profound power by the Holy Spirit. In the coming weeks, I'm going to do my best to intermingle verses like these, because there's a bunch of them. If it's a kingdom of power, we ought to be able to find more than five Bible verses. You can find plenty. Plenty. I'm going to do my best in the coming weeks to kind of scatter the verses that give us permission to believe for crazy things, and then some stories of what I've seen the Lord do. And it's just because somebody's got to tell some stories. And so I've got something to tell. And again, I feel like the Lord got a hold of me at 18 in a way related to this that I hope can be helpful to many of you. Many of you could preach this sermon series better than I could. I just want to tell the stories of what he's done, because I want us believing for God to do miracles in our day-to-day. And honestly, there's not really any new information for the next however many weeks. You just got it all. It's done. I've given you now everything I have to give you except some stories. But here's what I'm convinced of. if we spend 1 week on this, we will forget it. But if we camp out here for a while, and it starts to become conversations over lunches and in small group meetings and here and there with spouses and kids, and if we start to spend some time on this for a while, I think it might seep into the water. It might get in us as a culture. So I'm going to camp out on this subject for weeks and weeks and weeks so that we might get it, because I believe that there's more for us if we'll actually reach.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.